Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. You know, when we typically picture what's sacred, our minds often jump straight to images of silence, right?
Mm-hmm. Hushed reverence.
Yeah.
Incense, maybe.
Exactly. That profound sense of solemn gravity. We're sort of taught that the truly holy exists in stillness, in quiet contemplation, maybe a certain weighty seriousness.
Yeah, that's the dominant picture for sure.
But what if that's only like half the story? What if the sacred also includes something a little more unexpected, something lively, playful, maybe even a touch mischievous?
Oh, okay. Intriguing.
So today we're going to dive deep into the sacred mischief of fairies. We're going to explore how playfulness, you know, genuine laughter, and maybe even a dash of good-natured troublemaking. Well, how they aren't just fun distractions.
But actually holy.
Yeah, surprisingly holy, profoundly so. Our mission, really inspired by this wonderful article we found from the Church of Tinkerbell blog, is to kind of uncover how embracing this playful spirit might really enrich our understanding of the divine.
And maybe bring more joy into our lives.
Exactly. Inject a whole lot more unburdened joy into our everyday.
Yeah.
So get ready, because this deep dive, I think it promises some truly surprising insights. Might shift your perspective a bit.
It's a fascinating premise, really. It challenges so many of our ingrained assumptions about spirituality, doesn't it?
It really does.
This deep dive into the material you've shared, it forces us to connect things that seem, well, miles apart at first glance.
Mm.
Solemnity and joy.
Right.
And we'll do that by looking at folklore, these old stories, and then seeing how that wisdom maybe translates into a more vibrant modern spirituality.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that the divine isn't just one thing, you know, not confined to a single rigid expression. It's got many voices, many forms.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. When I say sacred, I bet for many listening, the first images are, like you said, solemn robes, hushed words.
That gravity in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've sort of been conditioned to think holiness demands quiet stillness, a serious face. Think about your own personal experiences. You know, what feels holy or reverent to you?
It often is rooted in that quiet contemplation, isn't it?
Yeah. A hushed cathedral, maybe silent meditation, or just a moment of deep, serious reflection.
Absolutely. And those moments of quiet, of depth, they are undeniably important, essential even for grounding ourselves spiritually.
Right. They connect us.
They connect us to something profound and still. But the insights we've been looking at, they introduce this powerful, almost countercultural alternative view.
Which is?
That the sacred also bursts forth in giggles, pranks, playful disruptions, and the kind of joy that wrinkles the corners of your eyes.
Wow. Okay, so not just quiet.
Not just quiet. This isn't just about amusement. It suggests the divine is also in that spontaneous, irrepressible burst of life, laughter, light. It's a reminder the spirit isn't always, you know, somber.
And for embodying this, well, this delightful truth, fairies seem like the perfect archetypes, right? Especially the friendlier ones.
Exactly. In so many stories, they are consistently these tricksters, laughers, troublemakers.
But, and this feels really key, they are never malicious, or at least not in their friendliest forms.
That's the crucial distinction, yeah. Their mischief isn't meant to harm or really upset people.
It's described more as, what was it? Irreverent enough to topple pride and loosen rigidity.
Precisely. It's a liberating force, not a destructive one. The playfulness is meant to free us up a bit.
So, okay, that brings us to a really interesting question then. Why does this kind of mischief matter so much in a sacred context? What actually happens when playfulness interrupts something we see as very serious, maybe too rigid?
It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, like mischief is just naughty. How could it be important spiritually?
Well, what's fascinating and kind of liberating is how the material explains it. It says, mischief, far from destroying meaning, actually protects it from calcifying.
Calcifying, like getting hard and brittle.
Exactly. Think about it. When any system or idea or even a spiritual tradition becomes too rigid, too serious, too self-important, it starts to lose its life, its connection to real experience.
It gets brittle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the examples given are just wonderful. Like, the king caught off guard by a joke, becoming human again.
Ah, In that moment, the crown slips, metaphorically.
Right. The weight of status just falls away and you see the person underneath. Or the priest, so concerned with perfection, slips and laughs at themselves.
Oh, I can picture that. It breaks that illusion of perfection.
It does. It allows for humility, a more authentic connection, and maybe the most powerful one, the child.
Yeah.
Knows instinctively what so many adults forget. Joy is its own prayer.
Joy is its own prayer. Wow. That hits heart like that spontaneous giggle isn't irreverent. It's sacred in itself.
That's the idea. An immediate connection to the life force that maybe extreme solemnity can accidentally block.
I love that perspective, especially about the child. It really shows how this sacred mischief pokes holes in pump so that light and air can breathe through.
Ice image.
It's a necessary contrast, isn't it? Solemnity keeps us grounded, gives us that depth.
Which we need.
Definitely. But this mischief keeps us from being buried under our own gravitas. It stops us getting so weighed down by our own importance, our rules, that we forget the sheer lightness of being alive.
Keeps us buoyant, maybe, connected to that spontaneous flow.
Okay, let's dig even deeper into this idea of fairies as holy tricksters. The source material talks about classic examples from folklore, right?
It does.
They slip into weddings and dances not to curse, but to remind people of delight. That's key, not cursing, reminding.
Yes. It's a gentle nudge towards joy, towards being present in the moment.
So what does that actually look like? What do they do?
Well, their actions are almost always subtle, you know, designed to disrupt patterns without causing real harm.
Like what?
Oh, maybe playfully braiding hair in silly knots while someone's asleep, or hiding one shoe so you have to look for it.
Huh. That would be annoying, but also funny eventually.
Exactly. Or just swapping everyday things around. The immediate effect is maybe confusion, a little frustration.
Followed by a smile.
Often, yeah. Or a laugh. But the deeper purpose, the really crucial bit, is profound. It's so humans must look at the world with fresh eyes.
Ah, okay. So it shakes you out of autopilot.
Precisely. When your routine is gently broken, when the predictable becomes unpredictable, you're forced to pay attention again. You engage your senses, see the familiar differently.
It's like a little reset button for how we see things.
A playful form of mindfulness almost, encouraging wonder and presence.
And that's where it connects to something much bigger than just folklore, isn't it? This idea isn't just a quirky fairy thing.
No, it's presented as being tied to a broader, almost cosmic truth.
Right, so it's not just whimsical, it's fundamental. How so?
Well, if you look at the bigger picture, the insight is that the universe itself loves surprise.
The universe loves surprise.
It's not just poetry. Think about science. Mutations, accidents, unexpected leaps. That's what allows life to evolve.
Right. Evolution isn't always planned and orderly. There's chance involved.
A huge amount of chance. Biodiversity, new species, breakthroughs. So many come from unexpected events. From nature's delightful unpredictability.
And human creativity, too.
Absolutely. How much of our creativity comes from accidents as much as it is from order? Think of a painter's accidental splash. A musician's improvised riff.
A scientist's oops moment in the lab that leads to discovery.
Exactly. Those are moments where play and spontaneity unlock something new. So the realization is the universe plays too.
Wow.
It introduces chance, spontaneity, unpredictability, and that drives growth, evolution, newness. A playful universe is a living, dynamic, creative one.
This really brings us to that idea of balance, doesn't it? Because the sacredness we're exploring here, it isn't only the quiet, solemn ritual.
Nor is it only the wild laughter.
Right. The real essence, it seems, is the dance between the two. Not either, but this dynamic interplay.
Finding the harmony between the profound and the playful. And what's so insightful is how that dynamic is described. When we balance silence, we honor depth. When we erupt in laughter, we honor life's irrepressible buoyancy.
Ah, I like that. Irrepressible buoyancy.
And the key point, both are holy. Both belong. It's a truly holistic view, embracing the full spectrum of our experience, the quiet introspection and the exuberant joy.
It challenges us to broaden our definition of sacred, doesn't it? Move beyond just the narrow, serious box.
Hugely. To something much more expansive and inclusive.
And the fairies, then, are positioned as the guardians of this balance. They're orchestrating this dance.
In a way, yes.
So if that's their role, what's the core message they're constantly whispering to us? What's the wisdom they're trying to get across to our often too serious selves?
Their core wisdom, as the source puts it so beautifully, is just incredibly liberating. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Easier said than done sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. But then it adds, you're a fleeting spark of stardust, and that is glorious.
Okay, that puts things in perspective. Humility and wonder, both at once.
Exactly. We're temporary, magnificent phenomena. And that itself is cause for celebration, not just solemnity. They're great at, you know, tugging at our sleeves.
Reminding us
to play even as we pray. It's about integrating joy and lightness, maybe even a little healthy irreverence, into our spiritual lives, not keeping them separate.
So spirituality can actually be joyful, vibrant.
It can, and maybe should be, according to this view.
Okay, so we've explored these really expansive, wonderful ideas. Now the practical bit. What does this all mean for you, for us, in our daily lives? How do we actually bring this sacred mischief into our routines, our serious moments, even mundane tasks?
Right. How do we live it?
Yeah. It sounds like an invitation to engage with the world differently, maybe more joyfully.
Precisely. And the material gives us what it calls a blessing of mischief, which is really a practical, actionable invitation. It encourages us to think about how we might weave this spirit in.
Okay, like what?
Well, first, may we laugh at ourselves before pride takes root. That's powerful, isn't it? A great antidote to ego.
Yeah, self-deprecating humor. It disarms things, fosters humility.
Keeps us from getting too rigid about ourselves. Then second, may we play jokes that wound no one but heal rigidity.
Highlighting the constructive side again. Lighthearted, respectful interventions.
Yeah, designed to loosen things up. Bring a breath of fresh air, but without causing actual harm. Gentle disruption for good.
Okay, what else?
Third, may we giggle in pews, boardrooms, and kitchens without shame.
Whoa! That's challenging convention. Giggle in pews.
It speaks to the freedom to express genuine joy anywhere, even serious places. Now, obviously, there's nuance.
It's not about being intentionally disruptive or disrespectful.
No, but about allowing an authentic moment of lightness. That spontaneous giggle can be a powerful, almost rebellious affirmation of life's delight, even in solemn settings, remembering our human joyful nature everywhere.
Okay. And the last one.
And finally, this is quite expansive. May we honor the divine not only with solemn vows, but also with joyous cartwheels.
Joyous cartwheels. I love that image. Honoring the sacred with unbridled enthusiasm.
Exactly. Imagine the liberation in that. It suggests our whole being, body, laughter, play, can be a way to connect with the divine.
It paints such a different picture, doesn't it? A world where our spirits feel lighter, where we embrace both our serious and silly sides. It's a beautiful reminder that, as the source says, the fairies are laughing with us. The sacred is laughing through us.
Suggesting joy isn't just emotion, but maybe a conduit, a way to experience the divine every day.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we've really journeyed through this idea that the sacred is way more expansive than we often think.
Mm-hmm. It embraces both solemnity and reverence.
But also uninhibited joy, playful disruption, that touch of good-natured mischief. And this mischief isn't just frivolous.
No, it's presented as vital, a catalyst, protecting meaning from getting stuck.
And helping us keep looking at the world and ourselves with fresh eyes and open hearts.
It really broadens our understanding, inviting us to find holiness not just in quiet moments, but also in laughter, lightness, that sheer buoyancy of life.
Life itself is a divine expression. And maybe the perfect thought to leave you with, right from the source material, is this question. After all, what is more divine than delight?
That really sums it up, doesn't it?
It does. Pure, unadulterated delight. What could be more divine? So we invite you to reflect this week. Where have you felt genuine delight, unexpected laughter, maybe a playful disruption in your own life?
Those moments of spontaneous joy, sudden lightness.
Yeah. How might those moments, perhaps surprisingly, actually be sacred? How might they be connecting you to something larger, more joyful, more alive than you maybe realize?
Something to ponder.
Definitely. Until next time, keep diving deep, and maybe, don't be afraid to embrace a little sacred mischief.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.